call the meeting back to order. The board has been in a closed session, and so we need to certify and come out of that, and then we'll start into the budget workshop. Would somebody, a board member, mind reading the certification, and then we will do a roll call certification?
Mr. Chairman, pursuant to Virginia Code 2.23712D, I move that the board of members hereby certify that, to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under the Freedom of Information Act, and only such public business matters were identified in the motion convening the closed meeting were heard, discussed, or considered in the closed meeting.
Second.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Young, would you mind conducting a roll call?
Supervisor Spoonhour?
Aye.
Supervisor Sharp?
Yes.
Supervisor Peterson?
Yes.
Supervisor Lascalette?
Yes.
Chair Lumpkins?
Yes. Okay, we'll now move into the budget workshop, and we're going to start with an invocation from Supervisor Spoonhour, and then Mr. Peterson, if you would lead us in the pledge after that, we will get going.
Please stand if you're able. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the crews that worked so tirelessly throughout the weekend, both public safety, staff, everyone. And we pray for those that have helped through this storm, God, and that we were able to weather it. Lord, just be with us as we make decisions regarding the county. God, keep our public safety officers safe, Lord, and let there be peace in our county. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. We will... board members, we don't need to vote on it, but I'm just, unless there's any concerns, I'm just going to bring to your attention the agenda has item two is the Sheriff's Office Fire Rescue Animal Protection and Workforce Report. I think we're going to move the Sheriff's and the Fire Rescue to the end. Can we leave the... I see Mr. Klo, you're here. So yeah, just of those on item two, we're going to move the Sheriff's Office and Fire Rescue Department presentation to the end. Other than that, I think we are ready to roll, and we'll start with item one, the presentation of the County Administrator's FY 2020 proposed budget. Mr. Young, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Supervisors. Thank you for allowing me to present today my County Administrator's budget for FY 2022. Just for note, the presentation in the full County Administrator recommended budget is available at www.goochlandva.us. Just a quick overview of the presentation I'll do today for you is we'll walk through the budget process review. We'll look at the current economy. We'll look at the budget recommendations, both from an operating and capital perspective. We'll also be looking at a summary of our strategic goals and how I've accounted for those funded priorities within the budget. We also look at the utilities budget recommendations that we'll make to you today, and we also will look at some of the challenges and opportunities that we have available ahead of us and how we'll be moving forward in addressing those through the budget. We'll then wrap up at the end. So I've been going through, meeting with just about every department, every constitutional officer, board members. We've also met with the schools. We've had a special session with the schools on the capital budget. We've also met with the schools on some of their operating budget as well. We've also had a 25-year CIP session with the schools, a joint session there. A lot of good information coming out of there. And I'll be moving forward with that. So the budget process, as you all know, is consistent with our strategic plan. We have a very conservative approach that we take here in Goochland County, and I honor that approach. We always look to add efficiencies within our services whenever we can, and rather than just adding positions. So we look at how we can also make cost savings throughout our budget and do that on a daily basis. We're also looking at the board's priorities to expand public safety service levels within the community. And we've done that both for fire and the sheriff's department. And this budget also meets and exceeds all of our financial policies that we've put in place as a county. So we also look in here at maintaining competitive compensation for our employees. You'll see some things that I'll touch on here in my presentation that really looks to enhance our position with our employees and our compensation to our employees. We also are looking at our support of our operations and expanding positions when it's possible to do so in certain areas. We also have looking at reducing dependency on our prior year fund balance. That's been a goal of the board for several years, and each year we've tried to reduce that dependency. We also are looking at a self-sustaining rate for the utilities. Utilities has been very strong, continues to be very strong, and is self-supporting. You know, despite the pandemic, you know, just about a year ago, we had no idea really where we were going to be as a county going into the budget. So it is very heartening and very pleasant for us to realize that we are actually in a very, very good place as a county. We took steep cuts, very aggressive, and rather than having to come back and say, you know, where we're going to cut things, we did that initially. We held off on positions from the beginning, and that seemed to be a very prudent way to move forward. Current status of the Goochland economy right now, $378 million in commercial capital investment over the last 5 years. The current calendar year, 2020, we had just over $54 million invested in capital for Goochland County. That is very enviable. If you look here, you know, the only other one that came close is New Kent to us. And sorry about that, New Kent. And that was because of the opening of Rosie's Gambling Emporium. And so that's why you see that big jump. Employment and income. Goochland just over $100,000, and it is very robust. However, we also have to remember that that doesn't represent all of our residents of Goochland. Also, what you see here on this graph in front of you is really the unemployment rate. As you look at the unemployment rate for the United States, we come in, it hovers around 6.5%. The Commonwealth came in around 5%, and Goochland County came in at about 3.4%. Also, our assessed valuation, if you look at our commercial development valuations in 2020, they were 19.24%. So they ticked down just a little bit here as of January 2021, down to 19.15%. I would still consider that to be even pretty much across the board. Residential, same thing, 80.76 to 80.85. So that actually ticked up just a tad, and you are seeing that being reflected in our numbers. So this here is a new construction value pickup scale here. What you see here is basically $84 million in new construction in 2020. 89% of that, as you look here, 89% of that is residential and 11% of that is commercial. So what you see here is permits issued for housing. Very good sign, an indicator of that people are still wanting to move to Gibson County, and we are attracting people to move from other areas. And with that comes additional needs for service. And so we are continuing to provide for those who continue to move to Goochland and making sure they still receive the highest service available. This is just a quick slide here on the median home value. Definitely has increased quite a bit, about 14.5%. So proposed all funds expenditure budget, $139.7 million. About one-third of that is capital improvements, and 26% of that is education. We have public safety that comes in at about 11% for $15.6 million. We also have a small amount of debt, about 3%, $3.8 million for the expenditure budget. Again, so on the revenue side of the budget, we have debt proceeds at 29%, or $40.9 million, with our general property taxes at 52.7, or 38% of the total. We have $7.5 million of other local taxes, which takes up about 6%. About 11% is in state aid, and federal aid is $4.6 million for about 3%. The proposed general funds budget is $65.2 million. Education taking up 38%, $24.5 million. Public safety, 24% at $15.6 million. General services at 5% or $3.2 million. General government is at 10%, encompassing about $6.8 million. Judicial runs in at 3% at 2.1, and community development is at 3% or 2.2 million. Parks and Rec at 1.1 million, and Parks and Rec comprises about 2% of that budget. And we have about 1.6 million in transfers. So our proposed general fund revenue, 65.2 million, again, general property taxes composing 72% of that at $46.6 million. Our other local taxes coming in at 11% at $7.5 million. State aid at 7% or $4.8 million. And we have some others that take up the remainder that are all between 3 and 1%. Our real estate taxes for FY 2022. The good news is that there's no real estate tax increase proposed for FY 22. And I think that is phenomenal for this community to be able to operate the way that we do on 53 cents. I mean, that is the way to do it. We should be very proud of ourselves. This actually highlights our commitment that we stay within our means when here in Goochland County, and we don't propose more than what we need for our citizens. As you see, we're still below Henrico at 87, so quite a bit below at this point. Our FY 20 to 2046 capital improvement plan, our 25-year capital improvement plan, We are in our fourth year of developing our 25-year CIP plan. That's $654.4 million. That's quite an investment. As you see, education taking up 33.1% of that $654 million. Transportation taking up 35.1%. Our fire and rescue taking up 16.8%. Judicial administration taking up about 4.5%. With our CIP funds are for our critical categories, such as equipment, maintenance, and construction needs throughout the county. And the CIP also supports our vehicle, fire truck, ambulance, and replacement programs. And these are very high investments that our citizens enjoy, also such as schools and our parks and rec facilities. So we have some strategic goals that one of the main goals that we have is to provide efficient, effective, and transparent government with an emphasis on customer service excellence. We continue to add administrative renovations to improve customer service. Actually, right next to our boardroom here, we've just finished the completion of the Commissioner of Revenue and the Treasurer's building space, and that is quite a space that we have there. We have hopefully a video that we'll be able to share with the citizens later on in maybe even the next meeting that will actually show them the improvements that we've made. That was a very big undertaking and, by the county at this time. We also have our building inspections, software work continues. We're continuing to always try and streamline our processes that we have, particularly in the development departments that we have. That is very important to try and provide some opportunities for our citizens to do business with us in many different ways, both electronically and distant, as well as in person. But we are adding to those customer experiences on a daily basis. We also are making investments in how we present to the public in terms of our video distribution, our online presence, as well as how citizens will be able to access documents for transparency with government. So strategic goal two is a balanced development that contributes to the welfare of the community and preserves its rural character. So I've seen this be described in many ways, but how I look at it is a $3.5 million investment in reduced taxes, basically, for land use. So I look at this as the county's investment in the agriculture economy to allow people to encourage people to continue to have ag uses within Goochland County. There is a benefit to that, and that 3.5 represents that investment. Also, as strategic goal number two, just a few things on the capital investment side. Total county 5 year, $136.4 million. Schools, $69.6 million. Public safety, $20.2 million. We've placed $10 million in broadband, $29.5 million for judicial, and $7.1 million for facilities. Looking again at our strategic goal, excellence in financial management, we went to S&P in 2015 and received a AAA bond rating. We then went to Moody's in 2018 and received a AAA bond rating. And this year, we will go and try and, we will get a AAA bond rating from Fitch in 2021. So that is on the near horizon, and that is always a benefit to citizens because that allows us to borrow money at a much cheaper cost to the taxpayer. And anytime we can keep money here rather than in Wall Street is in all of our best interest. Tuckahoe Creek Service District, their bond refinancing in July 2020. That saved us $12 million, and that was a very conscious effort on behalf of this board to make that happen. That really changes the equation for us moving forward. It's allowed a lot more flexibility in what we're able to do on behalf of our residents. We also invested some key financial software programs, in particular for our finance. We're also looking to try and have some key software that actually allows our treasurer, our commissioner of revenue, and our assessor's office to work together moving forward and hopefully share data and reduce a number of efforts, redundant efforts. So June 30th, 2020, fund balance was $19 million unassigned for 30%. Target is 25% as of a percentage of the subsequent year's budget. We had $16.1 million assigned and $1.9 million in revenue stabilization. For FY22 through FY32, the 10-year CIP, CIP is in compliance with the debt policy. Our goal here is to stay at our policy level is 12%. Our target is 10%. And as you can see, as a percentage of general fund of expenditures, moving forward, we still are staying below that 10%. Schools here. High-quality core services, including education, public safety, and community health strategic goal. Our public education is 5% funding increase, up $1.2 million. One way to look at that is, since we held everything level last year, you can really look at that almost as a 2 years, 2.5 and 2.5, giving you a total of 5%. Total operating budget increase is $1.5 million. A 4.8% increase. We're looking at $216 million in the 25-year plan. That includes three new elementary schools, a major renovation to our middle and high schools, and for FY22, we have $42.6 million, which includes the new Goochland Elementary and Childhood Center. Again, for strategic goal number four, public safety and community health. Public safety, we're seeing 18% funding increase over FY2021. In our CIP, in the 25-year plan, we've also included $129.7 million. So my budget I'm recommending for the Sheriff's Office includes 7 full-time deputy positions, 1 full-time dispatcher for the E911 center, 1 part-time dispatcher for the E911 center. We also have in there a number of public safety vehicle replacements, as well as some additional funding to provide more training for our officers. For fire and rescue, the budget increased 19.5%, or just over $1 million. There's 6 full-time fire EMS personnel and 1 full-time battalion chief, 1 part-time assistant fire marshal as well. The assistant fire marshal will actually help not only the fire department but also our building department in terms of how we're able to do those inspections and get through inspections. So there's a benefit to not only the fire department but also to our building department. For FY22, our capital improvement plan also includes dollars for everything from fire engines, ambulances, our heavy rescue tools, cardiac equipment, turnout equipment, fire hoses, that sort of thing. For FY2022 to 2046, it's a pretty big hit there. It's a CIP. It's $109.8 million. There's we've got fire trucks, we've got tankers, we got ambulances, and also a replacement cycle also for our ambulances as well. And we have five new fire stations built into that. We also have an additional position for an animal protection officer for FY22. So for our workforce, one of the positive benefits for us is we have built into this budget no increase in employee share of health care cost. I believe that's about the fifth year that we have not asked our employees to have to contribute to a share of their premium. For county employees, we also built into this budget a 3% merit increase across the board, as well as school employees. We also included a 3% merit increase. So what you see here is the new positions. Some of these positions were carryovers pretty much from last budget. We forwent actually hiring them last year, and we've added those back into this year's budget. So that's where you see a large number of these positions. It encompasses 16 full-time public safety personnel, one full-time judicial comp board funded position, which is from the Commonwealth Attorney's Office. So that was its partial funding there. I think it's about 50% comp funded, maybe a little bit more. And then we have four full-time non-public safety positions. So the requested positions that I was unable to fund in FY2022, I had made a commitment to the board to make sure that I shared with the board all the departments what they were asking for, whether I approved it or I didn't approve it. And so what you see here are those positions that were asked for. Our county attorney asked for an assistant county attorney. Our administrative assistant, we actually was in the county administrator's office. Instead of hiring that position this year, we forwent hiring that position and are trying to look at some technology fixes there on the back end of things to help us with minutes. We have an assistant animal shelter supervisor that was requested by the animal services. We have combination commercial building inspector that was requested by our building department. We also had a deputy in sheriff that was requested that we were unable to fund. We also had a dispatcher that they that the sheriff's office asked for, which we were unable to fund. We also had a logistics tech in fire and rescue that was asked for. I was not able to fund that. We also had facilities technician, a groundskeeper, in general services, which I was unable to fund. Parks and Rec had asked for a recreation supervisor to transition from part-time to full-time. And then they also asked for, we're looking at a new program, which would have required seven part-time employees for an after-school rec zone program. We also had two positions within community development that we have an environmental inspector and an environmental planner, which I was unable to fund. So in total, about 19 positions that I was unable to fund in this budget. So here I'll just draw your attention to really the orange line. It's the general government line. And really what you see there is it's hold steady. It hardly has moved for quite some time. We have not continued to add a number of employees on our general government side. The one that we really have increased is here, and that is our public safety positions throughout the county. So we have really relied more on automation and technology rather than adding new positions in the general government side of our operating expenditures. This here is what you're seeing here is a general fund budget adjusted for inflation and population. It's $7.5 million or 12.9% of the general fund, increasing over a much reduced budget of FY21 due to COVID. So you do see a larger increase here, but most of that is due to holding things level. Utilities, FY 2022 budget, $15.3 million. Operating budget of approximately $7 million. A capital budget of $1.7 million. Our Tuckahoe Creek Service District is at $6.6 million. Our user fee increases as a result of the rate study are only going to be 3% and 4% for water rate and 4% for the sewer rate. That's going to see a typical customer will increase 3.78%. Initially, we had projected higher increases for both of those items, and with our new rate study, we are able to have a rate that's sustainable and reduce the amount of rate increase to our customers. Our ad valorem staying flat at 32 cents for the Tuckahoe Creek Service District. That is always a good sign. And then we have here our assessment in millions. This is a growth of about 14.6%. And we have 2.8% in new construction, and 11.8% of that increase is due to reassessment. So not to take too long on the Tuckahoe Creek service update, again, just hitting on that 12.1 million gross debt savings there from the refinancing has really allowed us to do a lot. And then you see here our combined tax rate. Here we go. Our combined tax rate is at 85 cents. Henrico is still at 87, so we are at 2 cents below them, which is always a good thing to be lower than your neighbor. And just going through our challenges and opportunities. Obviously, through our COVID-19 pandemic, we have had challenges as an organization trying to meet all of the service demands of our citizens. We have persevered. We've moved on a pivot to redirect how we deliver services to our citizens. We've looked at different ways to provide those services and more efficiently to our residents, and allow us to operate in a virtual environment that we've never had to before. We have an opportunity as well in budgets. We're not able to, or future budgets may not be able to rely on the growth and assessment seen this year. Affordability of our debt is the other issue. We always have to make sure that we are we can afford the debt that we take on and take it on very comfortably through our fiscal policies. We also have broadband. It's definitely an opportunity for us to get broadband to a number of our citizens who may not have that ability now. There are a number of things at play which the board is aware of. We're hoping that we can have broadband to everybody by 2023, which would be fantastic, but we have to work toward that. If we can bring it sooner, we will. Funding for road improvements. We definitely have some additional funding that is starting to come our way, particularly through CVTA for the gas tax and sales tax. Our numbers just for the half year from last year, from July to December, $550,000. So we can probably estimate that we'll have close to $1 million, just over $1 million to utilize toward transportation improvements. So people, please continue to buy your gas here in Goochland County. It's very helpful. We also have a challenge and a need for people to be a volunteer with our fire and rescue service and volunteer their hours to us. That enables us not to have to add so many fire and rescue full-time positions. Due to the pandemic, we really saw a drastic reduction in the folks who were volunteering their time to fire and rescue. And so we've had to supplement that with going out to hire professional firefighters who we can rely on We still have quite a big effort on behalf of our volunteers. About they still make up about 50% of the workforce that responds to calls. So that is a very unique position for Goochland County that other counties do not enjoy. Again, we have continuing calls for service, both fire rescue as well as our sheriff's department, which we have an obligation to respond to. We also have a challenge in public education funding from the Commonwealth, and looking at our local needs, we have many great ones, which we built all with, you know, we built our three schools all with in the same 3 years, 1957, 1958. And then we also have to remember that we have the opportunity to help our residents that have tax burdens, and so we do have some programs, and those are still built in to this budget. With that, I'll introduce the budget schedule. Obviously, today is the 16th. I am giving my budget presentation to you now. The sheriff and fire and EMS, animal protection, HR workforce, and then the authorization of the tax rate is today. We've mixed up the order a little bit for our fire rescue and sheriff's department. On the 23rd, we'll have a revenue presentation. This is basically, I think, Ms. Horlocker's day. She'll go over the debt policies. Public utilities will make a presentation on the public utilities, Tuckahoe Service District, judicial administration, general administration, community development, economic development. On March 2nd, we'll have the schools operate in CIP, health and general services and parks. March 9th, the county CIP, FY22 to FY2046 at Central High School. And then March 23rd, we'll have a joint county and schools town hall meeting via Zoom and live streaming. Again, the budget schedule beginning April 6th, beginning at 6 p.m. We'll look at the tax rate public hearing, followed by the Tuckahoe Creek ad valorem tax public hearing, followed by the FY22 budget and related items for that public hearing. And then April 20th, we'll have a budget adoption. So in summary, despite the long pandemic year, Goochland has really enjoyed healthy growth here within the county, both commercially and residentially. We've continued to provide services to our residents and see a high return of investment of the investments that we've made as a locality. And we also have a significant amount of investment in our capital improvement budget. Again, we have no increase in the real estate tax or the Tuckahoe Creek Service District tax rate for FY22, and the budget includes a 3% merit raise for county employees. Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Young. Board members, any questions so far? Ms. Lascolette?
Yep.
Okay. Board members? Okay. I think we can then. Thank you again, Mr. Young.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll have some questions. There'll be some, definitely.
See the big picture.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Officer Tim Cloud, come on up, and we'll... Following the order, here we're going to hear from Animal Protection Department.
Good
budget cuts. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so we can hear you. And press the button there at the bottom so the light comes on green. Perfect. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity to present Animal Protection's FY 2022 department budget. Principal functions of Animal Protection. We respond to all calls for service related to domestic animals 365 days per year. We enforce all animal welfare ordinances of Gouchen County and the state of Virginia. We prevent the spread of rabies to humans and domestic animals. We maintain the Goochland Animal Shelter. We reunite lost animals with their owners, and we find permanent homes for adoptable animals. Goals and objectives for animal protection. We continue to provide public safety services while striving to reduce response times. We continue to find forever homes for all adoptable animals entering the animal shelter. We continue to reduce the number of rabies incidents in domestic animals through education, law enforcement, and providing periodic low-cost rabies clinics, and strengthening the Animal Ambassador Volunteer Program as COVID-related restrictions are lifted. Calls for service, as you can see, in 2019, we had a significant increase in calls for service at 32%. That increased volume was consistent with FY 2020. If you look at FY 2018, you see in the second column that there were 254 calls per officer. If you remember, in 2018, we added a fifth animal protection officer to get that calls per officer number down. But then in 2019 and 2020, that call per officer increased again. We are asking for a sixth officer in an attempt to get that call volume back down. Animal intake, as you know, we were in a temporary facility for FY 2019 and 2020. Because of lack of cage space in that facility, we did see our animal intake decrease. Something a little bit different this year is I'm giving you a projected 2021 number, and that is because we are in our new facility. So if we keep on pace for the rest of FY 2021, we will see a 71% increase in animal intake with a projected 768 animals entering the facility.
And remind us, when did you open the shelter?
June 15th of last year. Okay. So it's been approximately seven months.
And so you're taking the numbers in that seven-month window and extrapolating them?
Yes, sir. That's correct. Similar with animal adoptions, again, FY 2019 and 2020, we saw our adoptions go down because of lack of foot traffic to the temporary facility. As we expected with opening the new animal shelter, we had a lot of foot traffic, and our projected FY 2021 adoptions at 342 would be an 100%+ increase in adoptions from the facility. Some of that has been pandemic related too, and that's been statewide and nationwide with so many families being at home and taking the challenge of a new pet ownership at that time. Our save rate percentages remain at 94%. We did see an increase in 2019, and kept that same level for 2020. Enforcement actions. In FY 2020, we had a combined 23 summons and warrants that were issued by our officers. That was slightly down from 2019. Our notice to comply actions, which are our written warnings for infractions, remain consistent. So FY 2022, we are asking for an additional just shy of $62,000 in operating cost and an additional animal protection officer. The requested $62,000 increase in operating cost, the majority of this increase reflects the true cost of veterinary care at the new animal shelter. We will continue to partner with Goochland Pet Lovers to raise donated funds to cover the majority of those costs. But we did want to show you, the board, the true cost and build it into our budget in the event that donations don't come in as expected. We had that money budgeted so we can provide a consistent level of care for the animals. We do know that we will need an additional contracted part-time veterinarian to help with routine vet care because of the increased number of animals coming into the facility. And the increase in personnel costs reflects the hiring of a sixth animal protection officer. Future outlook, with an increase in residential growth, there's expected increase in domestic animal populations. Citizens have an increased expectation of compliance with and enforcement of local animal ordinances. And increased call volumes and animal intake in the shelter will require an increased emphasis on volunteer engagement, recruitment, and management as COVID-related restrictions are lifted. As you all are aware, we really had planned to have a majority of our operations at the shelter done by volunteers, and because of COVID restrictions, we haven't been able to do that. So we're looking forward to getting more volunteers into the shelter to help us out. And questions?
Board members?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mr.
Mr. Coe, with the budget number, the revenue numbers only go back to 2020. How do the increased adoptions impact those revenues? So we're double the amount of adoptions. How does that translate to revenues?
And could you go back to slide 9? Because I think there'll probably be some more questions if you go back to slide 9. Thank you.
Oops,
yeah, right there.
So increase in adoptions do bring in more revenues, but with the increase in animals, it also have more costs related to the vet care. So our adoption rates, we don't really, it's a wash. We don't make any money from revenues on that. We tried to keep our adoption rates just at the level where we were breaking even for the vet care costs, which includes the spay and neuter.
Okay. I thought with the partnership with Goochland Pet Lovers, they covered quite a bit of the vet care. Is that not the case?
That is the case. So I understand your question now. So with that funding coming in, then we should see an increase in revenues based on funding from Pet Lovers.
Okay. Right.
Did you budget any of the anticipated funding from Pet Lovers? Does that appear in the budget?
It does not, no.
Okay, Ms. Lascalette, sorry.
Well, that was one of my questions. Is a way to put that in the budget?
So
that is revenues you're receiving, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I believe it may be more of a question for Barbara.
Well, I mean, some of the services are just in-kind services, mm-hmm. so we don't really have they don't come in as money, like, Pet Lovers doesn't actually give us money. They do take care of the transactions on their own side. So we don't necessarily see revenue from them. They actually pay for a lot of those services themselves.
It never passes through our books.
Correct.
Or anything.
Okay. Correct.
Okay. So now I'm like double confused. All right. So let me. So the statement was made that we keep adoptions at approximately a level that is kind of a break-even.
That's correct.
Kind of level.
That's correct.
Why would we do that? Why don't we keep adoptions higher?
It was the choice of the board at the time to have adoption levels as low as possible so that we could adopt as many animals as possible. The
adoption
fee.
Levels or adoption
the fee.
Costs?
The adoption fee. Is that what you're asking? I'm
no.
sorry.
I'm talking about how... Okay, so why don't we... I guess I'm trying to get the relationship. Okay, so we take in a projected 2021 of, was it 768 animals?
Correct.
Okay, which is a big increase. I got a question about that too, but let's stay with this. But of those, 342 were adopted. Now, some of those are animals that return to the owner.
That's correct.
Okay.
The majority of that difference is animals that were reclaimed by their owner.
Okay. So they're not really eligible for adoption.
That's correct. And we don't provide vet care for those animals either, because they're sometimes we may put some preventative vet care, but we don't provide the same routine services for an animal that's placed into the adoption side of the building if it's reclaimed by an owner.
Okay. All right, so on the animal intake, that's quite a big increase that you're projecting. And it seems like with COVID, that would be down because people are home more to take care of the pets. It's not. How are you arriving at that estimate? I'm just curious.
So we took the first 7 months of operations at the animal shelter.
Right.
And we took the number of animals over that seven, divided it by seven, and then multiplied that figure by 12 to get an annual. And that's where we got the 768.
Okay. So how, sorry, one more.
No, keep going.
How does Pet Lovers really doesn't play into your budget at all? I mean, they're more, I think as Ms. Horlacher said, provided in-kind services and that kind of thing. But who pays for the vets? Well, is all the veterinary services paid by us?
No. So routine vet care is covered by the county. Where Pet Lovers steps in is for animals who may need a specialist or some type of emergency care that the county would not or has not historically covered. So they're providing vet care in an addition to what the county is paying for. An example may be a dog that comes into the shelter that's blind. So we provide the routine vet care. Pet Lovers may step up and say, we're going to send that dog to a specialist to try to determine if it's anything we can do to get its sight back. And that's where they would cover cost for the additional vet care.
Right. And I know everyone appreciates what Pet Lovers is doing. Obviously,
sure.
They're a big contributor here. No
sure.
question about it. But do you have a clear distinction between what we do and what they do?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so that's an MOU. You have an MOU, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
that's correct.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Okay, I'm good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
What do you attribute the tremendous increase in animals?
There's two main reasons. First, we were, because of lack of cage space in the temporary facility, we were putting people on a waiting list, mainly for cats that were coming into the building. When we moved into the new facility, we had the space, so we no longer had that waiting list. And that contributed to the number of animals coming into the facility. Second, we did not take owner surrenders at the temporary facility, so we had a list of individuals that were waiting to work with us on owner surrenders, and that's the two reasons why we've seen it increase.
Okay.
And third, I will throw this in, the new facility, people feel more comfortable calling us to pick up a stray animal. In the past, they may have seen the little facility and they're like, I really don't want that animal going there. Now they're much more comfortable calling because they know the care in the facility that we have.
What is a stray animal considered? Somebody's driving along the road, sees a dog, and they don't know whose it is, so they call you and say, there's a stray animal and you run out and pick them up?
That's correct, yes, sir. So a stray animal would be an animal that it's not at its home. It's out and about within the county with no known owner at the time.
Okay. I'm just, a lot of people let their dogs run, and, we're picking up their dog, and then they find out and come get them, and we're incurring a cost when they just wanted to let their dog run around their property.
Sure. There are fees for individuals if they do not have tags on the dog, so they do have to pay a $20 pickup fee to reclaim the dog from us.
Okay.
If the tags or ownership is on the animal, then we take it home, typically. It never gets to our shelter.
Okay. That's what I wasn't getting.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Jeff Peterson. Mr. Chair, if I could follow on that same line of thought. you mentioned there's a fee. Let's say dog runs free, you pick it up, you try to return it, owner's not home, they went on vacation for a week, it ends up in your shelter for a week. They come back after vacation and say, oh good, you have my dog. Could you shed some light as to the cost of that week for care of the animal versus if they had to take it to a pet hotel and check it into the hotel before they went?
Yes, so our fee schedule now is the first 48 hours in the shelter are free. So as long as the owner responds within 48 hours, they just pay the $20 pickup fee. After the first 48 hours, it's $15 per day. So, you know.
How would that compare to a doggy hotel?
It's less expensive for sure.
You see where I'm going with this. I just
so do we have some people that do that on purpose? Certainly. We don't see it happen very often.
You don't?
We do not. No.
If that becomes a problem, let us know, because we don't want to provide an incentive for that kind of behavior to, you know, take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And also, they are also at risk of receiving a summons to court, because that is a misdemeanor to allow your dog to run loose with no tags on it. So we could, if that's a repeat offender, they could find themselves with some court fines also.
Okay, good. Thank you for that, Tim.
You're welcome.
That's all, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Good presentation. And I'm kind of following up on Ms. Lascalette. I was getting confused. So we're not giving, the county administrator is not recommending one of your, I think this came from you, right, the assistant animal shelter supervisor that's in your department?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So if I'm looking at your slide 10, which is right after the money, the slide 9, which is the money slide, that tells me what I think you said, and that is that you are budgeting $62,000 in your operating costs, but you're counting on pet lovers covering that?
It's a possibility. We don't know how donations would come into pet lovers. There's no guarantee historically.
What has been historical?
Historically, they have been able to cover that difference. But we did not want to go into a situation where, for some unknown reason, they could not raise the funds, and then we didn't have the money budgeted to continue to provide the services that we are now.
So if historically they've met it, what have we historically done with the surplus?
We did not have the money budgeted. So
this is the first year you're budgeting
for
contingency
in case
they don't raise the money?
Yes, sir.
What prompted you doing that?
It was really us talking with finance and making it. We didn't want to be in a situation where we were coming to you and saying the funding didn't come in. We want to continue to provide these services.
I appreciate it. No, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Why now?
Well,
right.
What's happening? And plus, I wanted to hear from you what this assistant animal shelter supervisor, I mean, I know Mr. Young has made his recommendation, but we as a board, we're not going to dig too deeply, but I think we would, you know, like to at least know what service is going to be lost by that, or what could you benefit from that. I mean, I'd like to know your reasons for the request and how you will adapt if you don't get it, and what it, how could it improve things?
Sure. That additional position would have taken a lot of administrative duties away from me, as well as our current shelter supervisor, and given us more time to, for me, help officers in the field, and for myself and the shelter supervisor to strengthen the volunteer program after COVID restrictions.
So I guess that's something. Would $62,000, would that, what's the impact of that position?
You'd have to go back to the last slide to tell you the
Okay.
He requested $168,000 in personnel, and he got $115,000. So the difference is the animal shelter supervisor. I also wanted to mention, too, if you don't mind, that we are the beneficiaries of a lot of donated veterinary services, and that's another thing. We're not quite sure how long that's going to go on as well. So
that's correct.
Best to
and so that $62,000 would cover the decline in donated vet services?
Yes, sir. I think that explains it the best. So our current supervising veterinarian donates the majority of her time. We hope that she continues to do that, but certainly there's no things happen. And so if we lost that service, then we wanted to build into the budget to be able to actually go out and contract the actual cost of what she does for us.
That helps me. That is helpful, because I guess here's my sort of philosophy. If we have a very generous group like Gooch and Pet Lovers, who've been very, very generous, I just was uncomfortable budgeting for something that they've historically provided, and now we're budgeting for it. It's almost like it could send the wrong signal. It could be like, we're anticipating you're not going to be there. We don't really need you.
Right.
And if we're relying on them, I think it's genuine, and I'd like the budget to reflect that. But I see that there's other components besides donations to pet lovers.
Yes,
that,
sir.
That are here. And of course, your veterinary services, I think in that same slide, you have to have an additional contract, need to provide vet care for the increased number.
That's correct.
You're at a higher number, so you're going to need more vet care services.
That's correct, yes, sir.
Great. Thank you for bearing with us.
You're welcome.
Fire the questions at you.
You're welcome.
Good presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a follow-up? Sorry.
Yes.
One more. I've heard through the grapevine that it's if animals aren't adopted in our shelter, that sometimes we will send them to other agencies and other shelters for adoption.
That's correct.
Do you know what percentage of animals are adopted by Goochland residents as opposed to other other shelters?
Off the top of my head, I think we call that a transfer. So the number of animals transferred during this seven-month period was 5%, and whereas the adoptions were 41%. And I can get you the exact numbers. I don't have them with me. So, but that's a pretty good comparison. It's 5% to 41%.
Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chair, just one more, Mr. Cobb, real quick. Just so I'm clear, in the county administrator's presentation in his budget, it includes an animal protection officer. So you'll have one additional animal protection officer. It's the assistant supervisor position that kind of didn't make the cut in the initial presentation.
That's correct.
Is that the right priority if you had a choice between the two?
It is, and okay. Mr. Young asked me that question. Okay. Yes.
Well, he's way ahead of me as usual.
Yes.
But
that answer.
I just want to make sure that we're setting the right priorities
to
meet your needs.
Yes,
okay,
thank
great.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thanks again. Director of HR coming up with a workforce report. I'm sorry, I should take the mask off, but thank Ms. Rice coming up and so people can understand. Exactly. Yeah, you can give it a fighting chance.
Hey, Jessica.
Okay.
So I see you forward with us, and this is your pointer.
Does the mouse work too?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to use that?
I like that better.
Okay. Just use the arrow key.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right. Good afternoon. I'm Jessica Rice, the Director of Human Resources with Goochland County. And I'm going to take you through our workforce report from the FY22 budget. I really have it separated out into three different sections. So the first one, the first part will just be demographics, where we're at currently and what took place over the past year. And then also we'll take a look at our current health plans and pay structure for staff, and then the third part at the end, we'll look at the FY22 budget and what it looks like for the upcoming year. Okay, so to start off with just some demographics, all of this data that you're going to see is effective as of December 31st. And where we're at currently, we have 143 full-time employees, 23 part-time, and then our constitutional offices, You can see those demographics there, 86 full-time and 7 part-time employees. The average salary across the board, including the constitutional offices, you can see that up there, 56,000 and change. Average age of our employees, 44 years of service, 5.5 years. That has not changed very much over the past couple of years. I did research that a little bit. And then you can see the male to female ratio. And the one thing to look at, and we're kind of gauging this as we move forward, we're keeping our eye on that minority rate. You can see where we are currently at 14.2% versus last year, we were at 11.1%. And new this year, I want to actually look at county citizenship. And so what that is how many of our staff live here in Goochland County. Okay. Just recruiting efforts over the past year, 28. The year before, there were 29 jobs posted, so we're right on the mark. There's no significant changes there. Applications received. I will say that this number is down. We're about 250 less last year than we were the year before. I do attribute most of that to COVID-19 for a lot of reasons. We had parents staying home with their children, people nervous about being out in the workforce, and things like that. You can see as far as applications, the minority rate there versus 2019. And all of this is self-reported, so if there were folks that did not answer those optional questions, they were eliminated from the survey. And you can see our 46 new hires for last year. Turnover, we lost 23 county employees and 13 constitutional employees. And this is actually right on par with where we've been in past years as well. There's nothing that stands out to me in doing the research. We had 4 retirements, and we had 2 individuals that were let go, and the other 30 were, they left for better job opportunities or they relocated. Our actual turnover rate is 14.1%. If you look at, it's right in line with 2018, and it is significantly less than 2019, the year before. Okay, our current health insurance structure, I did want to review this with you a little bit because this will become important as we look at some different things in the future, maybe not for this year, but going forward. We're currently with the local choice, and our carrier is the Anthem. And what it is a pooled insurance. We're actually in with other localities and state agencies. And by pooling all of our staff and resources together, we're able to drive rates down by doing that. We offer for staff 3 different plans. We have the high deductible plan. We have a $500 deductible plan, a $250, and then an HDHP. And staff can choose between preventative dental and comprehensive dental depending on their personal needs. And then we also offer different pricing points for the number of family members that are on those plans. Employee plus one, or a family plan. So right now we have 86% of our eligible workforce enrolled, 208 employees, and that is very, very high. That's what we like to see, which means that we're offering a great benefit to people. There's a little snippet at the bottom that says no anticipated increase in FY22, and I'm going to go over that more later. Okay. We also have some retirees that are on our health insurance plan, and there's 2 different segments of the population. The first one are the folks that have enough service time in to be able to retire even though they're not 65 yet. There was a policy change last year, and the requirements to fit into that category where you can still be in our pool insurance, the policy change requirements are listed there for you. Simply, you have to be under 65. You had to have been with the county for 5 years. And then you also have to be drawing VRS benefits. And the county also provides a monthly supplement if you have been here and been in service for 15 years or more full-time. With the policy change, our enrollment only increased by one person, so now we're up to six in that category. Not on this slide, we do have a different tier for folks that are over 65, and what it ends up being is a Medicare supplement. They're not in our numbers as far as claims or in our pool, but it's just there for them as a benefit. They can add on dental and vision that way. Okay, so currently, I'm going to switch gears to pay now briefly here. In talking about merit increases, what's up here are the past 10 years as far as the action that Goochland County has taken. Goochland has been very generous, as you can see, through the years. The last merit increase was in FY20, and that was a 3%. And then in FY21, COVID-19 showed up. And so just like the rest of the counties and cities all across the nation, we kind of held back in those pay increases until you could assess where the revenues were going to come in at. What I can share with you is that Goochland followed suit with all of the other localities in the area. There were not across-the-board pay increases, but what ended up happening was similar to what we all did, in that there were bonuses issued in the second half of the year. So we were right in line with that. At the bottom of the page, you can see the bonus that was just implemented at the beginning of February. And the percentage is the percentage of salary across the board. So the folks that are part-time employees, that $750 actually ended up being a 4.6% of their salary as far as a bonus goes. And then the full-time number is there as well. Questions so far? Everybody's good? Okay. Okay. And this slide just shows the merit increases leading all the way up through FY20 of the surrounding counties. This is the same slide that was there last year, but because there was no change, I just put it back in there for you. Okay, FY22 budget. This slide is a little bit complicated and hard to see, but all this is our current contribution schedule as far as the county's portion and then the employee portion of health insurance premiums. This is what is in place, and we are recommending that there is no change to this going forward into this year. The reason is we are not expecting a premium cost increase at all coming in from the carrier, which is really great. That means that our claims held steady, and there's no other driving forces such as pharmacy charges and things like that that are going to impact us. Mr. Young covered a lot of this already, but I have it here for you as well, and I can certainly assist with talking through this and answer more questions with him. And this is the staffing request for FY22. This was all of them. There were 43 in total. The county administrator has recommended 24 of those. And then this is a projection 5 years out of known staff requests going into the future. This is not all of the departments have not submitted their future requests, but these are the ones that the county knows about in advance. Okay, so for FY22, the county administrator recommended 24 positions. And let's see here. I actually had that number. 18 of those were public safety total, and the rest were spread out over general services and community development, and then the assistant commonwealth attorney. The county administrator also went over the positions that were not recommended for funding this year, including two conversions at the bottom where Those are part-time staff that the department requested to convert over to full-time. In the assessment and review of where we are in the budget, it was determined that this wasn't the right time for those positions to be funded in FY22. Okay. The compensation part of this, there's a few things that I do want to talk about, and that is looking at compensation holistically. There are a few things that we're going to be working on in the next year. The first one is that we have a mandatory minimum wage increase coming. It actually takes place May 1st of this coming year of 2021. And minimum wage has increased to $9.50 an hour. However, we've addressed that when the benchmarking study and all of those changes went into effect in February. There is another increase that is required January 1st of 22, which affects this coming fiscal year for you all, and that's that minimum wage increased to 11, and then a year later, minimum wage actually goes up to $12 an hour. And it doesn't matter if you're full-time or part-time. That's across the board. So the county at this time is recommending that we actually go straight to the $12 an hour minimum wage. And the reason is that there's other things that it will affect by increasing those folks. We have compression issues. We have other employees that earn not quite that $11 an hour but are right above it. And so we have to look at this kind of holistically, look at the pay bands, look at the FLSA status and all of those things at the same time. And rather than do it incrementally, it will be a lot easier for you all and for budgeting purposes to do it at one time. And then, of course, we talked about the 3% merit increase, which I'll cover that. So the county is recommending a 3% merit increase. There's a few reasons. Number one would be to minimize the impact of the minimum wage requirement that is in front of us. And then also to remain competitive with the job market. We do know that Hanover is looking at a 2.5% increase right now. Henrico Schools and Government are looking at least 4% increase right now. And then Henrico and Chesterfield are actually in the middle of a salary war at the moment. So it's kind of tough to say where they're going to end up, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be well above that 4% mark. In addition, our folks have gone through a lot this past year. They did not receive a pay increase last year, and so we would like to do something to recognize their efforts in FY22. Okay, so to recap, as far as the FY22 budget goes, and the recommendation from the county is to not have any increase or to touch the health insurance plan at all. And we're looking at funding 24 new positions. That's 21 full-time, 3 part-time for about $1.5 million. A 3% merit increase across the board would cost around $450,000, and that includes FICA and all of the other financials that go with it. And then to do the minimum wage realignment up to $12 an hour is an additional $10,000 for those adjustments. Questions.
Thank you, Ms. Rice. Good presentation. I appreciate it. Board members, any questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Rice. Great presentation. You pulled in a couple of metrics that we hadn't seen before that I really like. But my question has to do with the insurance. What we're saying here in our budgets, we're not charging our employees any additional premium charge for the insurance.
Correct, but also the county will not see any additional charges either. The insurance carrier is holding us flat.
Okay,
so that
has been stated to us.
That has been stated. I have heard that from 3 different sources now. I'm waiting for it in writing.
Okay, right, exactly. And when would we actually get that definitively given to us, do you think? It'll be before we do the final budget next
year,
right?
I will have that within the next 2 weeks in writing.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. So just in case there's a surprise there.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Our budget is based on that.
Flat. Yes.
Right.
It's based on flat.
Current budget is based on
yes.
flat.
Okay.
And that's our best estimate at this point.
Yes. I've actually heard from the local choice and from our benefits administrator, both, because he has talked with them as well, and that is all indication is that there's no increase. I'm just waiting for it in Friday. So,
thank you very much.
As soon as I do, I can share that with everybody.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. March 1. That sounds good.
Any other questions? I do have. And I know you just started this. You talked about the benefits coordinator or benefits advisor.
Mm-hmm.
The employee health insurance, I caught that you said that 86% is a good indication that we're providing a good benefit. I like that. Do you... And I'm not asking because you haven't been here long enough to experience it here, but in your role, we have three different tier offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you would look at to spread across those offerings to see if the offerings are well balanced? Is that something you imagine yourself doing as we, not for this year around, but, and I'm asking just because I've had some experience in working mm-hmm. in places where things get out of skew and you're realizing, we've not structured this in a way that, you know, so is that something that you
yes.
anticipate you'll be looking at as we...
I believe, you know, in future years, we may not be so fortunate to have a flat rate, and I think that the county would probably want to look at the contribution schedule as far as that goes. I can tell you that we have a very large number of staff on that 250 plan, which tells me that the rates may be a little, it's very enticing to be on that 250 plan.
And probably the HSA, is it?
I have four or something like that. So
you're answering my question there.
So that's one of the things that I've looked at in the past, worked very hard in different localities with, and also looking at maybe, and I don't want to commit to this, but maybe opening up a fourth option for staff where what happens if you're a single parent with multiple children versus two parents and multiple children, do those rates still weigh the same? And that's all stuff that I would work with our advisor on in looking at plan design and things like that. So,
well, I'm glad to hear that you see that coming
mm-hmm.
coming down the pipe, because I think if you have four people in the HS in high plan, that's
right.
Almost that, like there must be some
that tells a story.
Yeah,
right.
It does. It does. All right. If no other questions, thank you so much, Ms. Rice. I think we'll take a break.